I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Kurt Ullman, and I'll be serving as worship associate today. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Our minister, Reverend Lisa Day, is our worship leader this morning, and our worship, religious education, and covenant group theme for January is Practicing Resistance. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we're working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you on YouTube and on site. We have no definition of who we are but human. We have no code but that of respect. We have no creed but that of equality. With the lighting of our chalice, symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred time. We light our chalice as the symbol of the light within us and the life that flows through the world around us. It is our beacon as we search for truth. It is the warmth in our hearts for love, and it is the energy that propels us to action. May we be kindled by our time together.
Blessed are we who gather with open hearts together in this space today. Blessed are we, the chalice lighters of resistance, justice, love, and faith. Blessed are we, the heretics, the outcasts, the refugees, the immigrants, the poor, the wanderers who are not lost. Blessed are we, the transgressors, the trespassers, the passers-by, the cause-takers, the defiant, the compliant. Blessed are we, the hand extenders, the sign makers, the protesters, the protectors. Blessed are we, the trans women, the trans men, the non-binary, the cisgender, the multigender, the null gender. Blessed are we, the friend, the stranger, the lonely, the hidden, the visible, the authentic. Blessed are we who rise in solidarity. Blessed are we who cannot. Blessed are we who do not. Blessed are we, for this is our beloved community, and this is who we are. Let us worship together. The words of meditation this morning are from Unitarian Universalist Minister Joan Javier Duval. Holy mystery, silent presence, uncertain bearer of the weight of it all. In these quiet moments, we listen. We listen for the maybe still breathing, perhaps still whispering faintest sign of the universal good. We listen between the cacophony of distractions pulling us toward untruth and falsehood. We listen amidst the shrill cries of desperation, of we've had enough, of when will they stop killing my people, of how much more will the waters rise, of when will it be safe to return to my home, of how much longer can I hang on? We listen and we wait through the tumult of these days. We seek assurance. We seek the fulfillment of a promise made to ourselves, a promise made to those we have been stretched to call neighbor, a promise written and enshrined and yet unfulfilled. Help us, abiding mystery, to hang on, to hold on when all is in question, when all is in doubt. Help us to stay firm to our own commitments and our own promises. Lead us back into connection, back into the bonds of humanity that help us to know each other as beloved. May we continue listening. May we keep watch. May we beckon love and justice and mercy with our own whispers, our own shouts, our own cries, until all know themselves part of the circle of love. Our first reading this morning, "The World Keeps Ending and the World Goes On," is from Franny Choi, a poet and essayist who co-edited the anthology We, the Gathered Heat, Asian American and Pacific Islander Poetry, Performance, and Spoken Word. Before the apocalypse, there was the apocalypse of boats. Boats of prisoners, boats cracking under sky iron, boats making corpses bloom like algae on the shore. Before the apocalypse, there was the apocalypse of the bombed mosque. There was the apocalypse of the taxi driver warped by flame. There was the apocalypse of the leaving and the having left, of my mother unsticking herself from her mother's grave as the plane barreled down the runway. Before the apocalypse, there was the apocalypse of planes. There was the apocalypse of pipelines legislating their way through sacred water and the apocalypse of dogs, before which was the apocalypse of the dogs and the hoses, before which the apocalypse of dogs and slave catchers whose faces glowed by lantern light, before the apocalypse of beeves, the apocalypse of buses, border fence apocalypse, coat hanger apocalypse, apocalypse in textbooks, selective silences. There was the apocalypse of the settlement and the soda machine, the apocalypse of the settlement and the jars of scalps. There was the bedlam of the cannery, the radioactive rain, the chainless martyr demanding a name. I was born from an apocalypse and have come to tell you what I know, which is that the apocalypse began when Columbus praised God and lowered his anchor. It began when a continent was drawn into cutlets. It began when Kublai Khan told Marco, "Begin at the beginning." By the time the apocalypse began, the world had already ended. It ended every day for a century or two. It ended and another ending world spun in its place. It ended and we woke up and ordered Greek coffees, drew the hot liquid through our teeth as everywhere the apocalypse rumbled, the apocalypse remembered. Our dear beloved apocalypse, it drifted slowly from the trees all around us, so loud we stopped hearing it. This poem from Unitarian Universalist minister Jordan Nelson. You are about to see activists given extremely specific instructions about how to move and behave and take video lawfully of paramilitary thugs who are doing violent things unlawfully, so that when the activists are murdered for peacefully assembling, protesting, documenting, videotaping, standing, parking, congregating, whistling, warning, it will be clear on film that the dead person was a physical danger to no one. These instructions will be given solemnly, with intention, with the cadence of religious intonation, not because this seriousness will save a life, but because telling one another how to achieve the best documentation of our own deaths is easier, simpler, more certain than teaching ourselves what it would take to make this government, its apparatus, its allocations, its greeds, and its hatred accountable for what it has done. And finally, from Nathan Spoon, an autistic poet with learning disabilities, The Republic of Tenderness. You are living inside the cup of another life. Water is running slowly. Somewhere a hand is overflowing with the abundance and celebration denizens dream of. Meanwhile, if there is happiness, it hangs within images of solar eclipse, moistening the soil in a pot in order to be drawn upon joyfully by the plant whose roots have spread throughout. It is the feeling of confidence, after all, that makes your life as it is possible. Space alone cannot be enough if you mean to leave a miracle permeating your dust. This is a note of encouragement left in a difficult world during a difficult moment. This is a secret you already know, even though you are waiting to realize that. You are the answer everybody else is waiting for. There is no pressure. You are the answer. Here in the readings. Each day's news for a year now brings us word of an action, development, situation we can't stand for. We must resist. How many times since January 20th, 2024, have you said, this has to stop? How many times have you said, as many of you did last Sunday in coffee hour, a day after our government kidnapped the sitting ruler of a sovereign nation, this is the action that is one too far. This one will make the difference. This one they can't allow to stand. And how many times has it not stopped? How many times has it not been the one action too far? How many times have those elected to positions of oversight, those elected to not allow it to stand, in fact, allowed it to stand anyway? Wednesday, as I chose my readings for today and started writing the paragraph I just read, an ICE agent shot and killed Renee Good, a protester, a wife and mother, a U.S. citizen in the city of my birth, Minneapolis, in the neighborhood where my niece dwells. All day and evening, Minnesota-based colleagues, friends, and family members live-streamed, posted, commented, and shared witness accounts. Unitarian Universalists from around the country chimed in with words of dismay, heartbreak, and anger, with prayers, meditations, readings, and other liturgical resources for vigils, with thoughts about what is needed in this moment. The poem I read just now from Jordan Nelson about documenting our own deaths was one of those poems. Such reports from the ground have continued now for 4 days. Our Unitarian Universalist Association Vice President for Program and Ministries, the Reverend Ashley Horan, also lives in the neighborhood where Renee Good was murdered. And she has been organizing, rallying, collecting, and distributing mutual aid funds and reporting from the ground, including live streams and interviews with national news, unceasingly since Wednesday. Aisha Hauser, who is part of the lead ministry team at the Church of the Larger Fellowship, the CLF, a Unitarian Universalist congregation serving isolated or incarcerated or other UUs living around the world, wrote on Wednesday morning before Renee Good was murdered. But of course, in the midst of all the chaos, violence, and lawlessness that has been unfolding and escalating over the past year and just days after the U.S. kidnapped Nicolas Maduro and his wife. Aisha Hauser wrote, "What are people of faith, people of conscience, and people who want and work for liberation to do? We do what we can where we are. Lean into community and focus your energy on your friends and neighbors. Over the next few months, the world will feel more unstable, uncertain, and chaotic. There is little any individual can do to change that. What we can do is call, write, and be vocal to our representatives about opposition to war and violence. Now is the time to be hyper-local." This past fall, Aisha Hauser continued, "This past fall, at the threat of SNAP benefits ending, the response from people all over the United States was overwhelmingly that of taking care of each other. Mutual aid networks went into overdrive to find out who would need food. Local churches, food banks, and other nonprofits let people know they could find assistance through them. We, the people, would not let our neighbors starve. This is the energy we need to keep at the center in 2026. We will keep love and care and working for liberation at the center of how we show up, to focus on the things we can control, and we can control how we love and how we care." Aisha Hauser. Another Unitarian Universalist, peace and justice educator and consultant, C.B. Beale, offered this simple exhortation on Wednesday. "If you aren't there, bear witness and do the work. Your work. Whatever it is, do it. Not next year, not after the midterms, now." Those words closely parallel some of what I said here last week, that realistically, there probably isn't one single best approach, and our country is in such peril on so many different fronts that any individual, community, or organization could serve the whole well simply by choosing whatever direction makes sense in their setting and given their means and resources, and then proceeding with both steadfastness and flexibility. C.B. Beale's succinct words also capture the essence of what this morning's sermon was always meant to be about, even before Wednesday, the necessity of starting. It has probably been said 1,000 times, 10,000 times, in ways both elegant and irreverent. Do the difficult things while they are easy, and do the great things while they are small. A journey of 1,000 miles must begin with a single step. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. The one who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones. The tiny acorn becomes the mighty oak. President James Madison noted that the same principle applies to wrongdoing. It often, perhaps always, starts small and grows. His words sound extraordinarily precious today, prescient today. He wrote, The people of the U.S. owe their independence and their liberty to the wisdom of descrying in the minute tax of 3 pence on tea the magnitude of the evil comprised in the precedent. Let them exert the same wisdom in watching against every evil lurking under plausible disguises and growing up from small beginnings. When I had a total shoulder replacement a few years back, part of my post-op physical therapy involved resistance bands, lengths of very thin, stretchy, latex-based substance. They come in different colors, each one indicating the pounds of force it provides. As my shoulder muscles became stronger, I progressed from the cream-colored, lowest resistant bands through yellow and on to medium resistance, which was red. Some of you have probably worked with resistance bands or other strengthening equipment that function according to the same principle. Start easy, build strength, move on to ever more rigorous challenges. Each new color of resistance band visually indicates a new invisible level of muscle strength. Starting with heavy green or medium red bands or even the light yellow bands would have slowed my rehab and probably done injury to my muscles. It certainly wouldn't have brought me to my goal either safely or quickly. The knowledge, expertise, and wisdom of my physical therapist guided me through healing to strength. At this moment in history, those of us who dismay and lament what has become of our country, a country that was never perfect but now seems to glory in hatred and cruelty, we want to break out the blue extra heavy resistance bands, the special heavy black band, the super heavy silver, and even the maximum resistant gold band. The situation is too dire. Our patients too frayed for fooling around with cream and yellow and red. But the knowledge, expertise, and wisdom of activists and historians warn us that lasting transformational social change doesn't happen that way any more than healthy muscles happen that way. Transformational social change, like strong muscles, comes about through repetition of resistance. In the words of this month's Soul Matters theme, through the practice of resistance, not through a single extravagant standalone blast of resistance. Strength, momentum, and transformation start small and build. One voice, one vote, one strike, one rally, one act of civil disobedience, one financial donation added to another voice, another strike, another vote, another rally, another act of civil disobedience, another donation, and then another and another. We practice resistance not because we haven't yet achieved the skill level to perform resistance. We practice resistance because that's how it works, and because empire, the forces of greed and cruelty, of power over and destruction, also start small and builds. Whether it's world leaders on the global stage or common bullies in the tiniest of local municipalities or organizations, allowing small acts of tyranny to stand unchecked and unchallenged inevitably leads to greater and greater tyranny. If working through a set of resistant bands over the course of a week of weeks or months long rehab is an imperfect but easy metaphor for starting small in our efforts to effect societal transformation, then the man who didn't wash his dishes is a cautionary tale about what happens when we don't start somewhere small. Indeed, it illustrates the same point James Madison made from a sillier perspective. Madison praised his fellow Americans for foreseeing that what began as a minute tax would grow into a magnitude of evil. While the man in the story failed to foresee what would happen if he didn't take a small preventative step. It's not always wrongdoing or evil that starts small and grows to an unmanageable or dangerous scale. Sometimes it's laziness or ill-thought-through good intentions. Either way, the result is the same. A problem of gigantic proportions that still must be tackled by small steps that start somewhere, because we can't put the entire country or even just the administration into the bed of a pickup truck in the rain to quickly cleanse. Now, none of which is to say that our starting place, our small steps, must be timid or gentle, that we must pull our metaphorical punches. Another of my colleagues, the Reverend Dr. Victoria Weinstein, wrote this week, "I stand in full support of Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey's public statement that ICE get the fuck out of his city. You will never catch me arguing. She continues, "You will never catch me arguing against the use of obscenities in public statements in response to obscene events. Whether mayor or minister, neighborhood watch volunteer, or concerned grandmother, we need not concern ourselves with verbal noblesse oblige. Respectability politics will not save us. We are in a fight for our lives. I confront misogynist bullies online in the language they speak to each other, and in doing so, I step out from behind their expectations that women are weak, malleable, or afraid. Were I the mayor of Minneapolis, I would make the same choices as Mr. Frey." She continues, "Speak in the language that is authentic to you. For some of us who do not wish to carry actual weapons, we fight as we can with our language. Be a warrior in your own style and fashion. I support you and cheer you, gentle warriors, but I am not of you." Whatever our individual warrior style, we start someplace. We start small. Actually, we have already started someplace. We have already started small. One of our readings reminded us that there was an apocalypse before the current apocalypse and another one before that one. The same is true of our practice of resistance. We started years ago, perhaps before we can even remember, when we stood up to a playground bully or picked their victim up from the ground rather than walking away, when we shifted our investments away from South Africa in the 1980s and our shopping habits away from anti-LGBTQIA retailers and businesses in the 2020s, when we voted for the first time and for the most recent time and all the times in between, when we paid for a few groceries when the person in line in front of us came up a bit short. Rallying, joining conversations with our neighbors and our companions in this church, boycotting, voting again, videoing traffic stops and ICE actions, refusing to look the other way when the administration or someone much closer to home harms our neighbor, our friend, our community member. Having started small, we're gaining momentum. Already practicing resistance, already building the muscles of our conscience and our justice and equity. We're eating the elephant, moving the mountain, growing the mighty oak. It is no small thing we are even now doing, having started someplace a long time ago. May we hold this knowledge in our hearts when we grow weary, Together, we are already effecting transformation. Thus, may we find the strength to continue the practice. Amen.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.